This is KPMG's Driver Acceleration Ahead, a series where we discuss new approaches in using business drivers for success. And here's your host for this episode, Christina Cavanaugh.
Hello, and welcome back to Driver Acceleration Ahead, the latest edition of KPMG's new podcast series on driver-based planning. As we've been discussing in earlier episodes, we're talking about a whole new way that companies on the forefront of data and analytics are thinking about and using business drivers in all of their planning processes. With this new approach, companies build a detailed framework of their business drivers, or levers, if you will, that impact forecast results, drilling down four or five levels deep. And because this framework is embedded right in their enterprise planning system, it can deliver some pretty impressive results. For example, time saved by being able to produce real-time budgets and forecasts, along with improved accuracy. There's a real bottom line payoff here. In the first two episodes, we talked about some of the overall concepts behind driver-based planning. Then we took a closer look at how drivers are used in the technology industry. Today, we're going to switch gears and focus on the power and utilities industry, which has some really unique challenges and opportunities, of course, when it comes to driver-based planning. I'm joined today by Craig Tetro and Kyle McNamara, who are directors with KPMG's finance transformation team and who have a ton of experience working with finance teams in the power and utilities sector. Craig and Kyle, thank you so much for joining.
Thanks, Christina. Happy to talk about this topic.
Absolutely. Good to be together with you today.
Well, Craig, let's get started. Let's start with the industry view as a whole. It seems like there are some pretty unique challenges for power and utility companies that might play right into the strengths of driver-based planning. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. The power and utility industry certainly has its own unique set of challenges and motivations. The customer base for sure is always asking, what value do I get? We as ratepayers all pay electric bills or utility bills. And so monthly we're reminded of what the value is. There's also regulators involved who are pressuring and asking questions along, how are we optimizing that capital? How are we distributing that capital? These are traditional questions that get asked to the utility. More recently though, I think you're getting a lot of interesting questions around things like grid resiliency and security. How do we kind of improve or increase the reliance or the service provided to our customers? What are we doing to spend money in terms of renewable energy? How are we changing our energy sources? And what does that mean? And then ultimately, how are we modernizing our grid? I think as we look at different load patterns with electric vehicles and cars and trucks and different usages, we're really starting to see new questions pop up in the utility space, which requires, the new questions require new answers, right? And so our financial executives that we're working with are consistently looking for new ways to explore those answers and really tying together how, the operational execution needs to change in order to impact and translate into financial outcomes. So the power and utility industry for sure is an industry which is, uniquely facing many challenges and having to kind of consistently adapt.
But, that also makes me wonder, traditionally power and utilities, it's a pretty risk-averse industry, right? So this might feel like a big change for the finance team specifically with some big risks potentially. Kyle, how do you de-risk this for people? Where does a company start?
Well, a good way to start is to start small. Pick a few of the use cases, whether it be a few accounts or plan elements, or maybe O&M cost buckets where you think you've got some good external signals, and maybe that are relatively stable and be able to run a few pilots. Now, there's a balance between choosing maybe the elements that are the most time intensive for the teams when you're going through planning cycles, and maybe the ones that have the most significant impact on safety, reliability, and affordability. And that's probably a decision that each finance team or each utility needs to make around where they think that they can drive the most value in a short amount of time. What you want to do is find a few, get some signals, generate the forecast, and then check the actuals and refine it. A lot of that can be done in your existing EPM systems. Probably need to pull some data out of your ERP, especially as you get a little bit more mature in the process. But pretty soon, you ought to be able to get to those accounts to 80 to 90% better accuracy with a whole lot less effort. And then that gives you a chance to focus on maybe the accounts that are higher value or higher volatility. I guess one other way also to de-risk is to look at where other utilities have done it. One of the unique aspects of our industry is that we're extremely collaborative and willing to share good practices. And so as you build your network with peers at other utilities, that gives you a good opportunity to reach out and find out what other utilities have done and works well.
And I'm guessing some real-world examples will also help people get their heads around this concept, especially since it does feel like it can be a pretty big transformation. Craig, you've been on the ground with finance teams for a lot of the driver-based projects that KPMG is helping companies with. I know it's still pretty early on in the process for many, but what are some of the ways you've seen companies get this right and score some wins?
Yeah, there are a lot of good examples. And realistically, we're working with with multiple clients and how to kind of get this right. I think one of the biggest pieces that we see is tying the transactional side, tying the minutia to the ultimate operational outcomes or those financial outcomes is the key. And where we've kind of seen some of our clients and folks in the industry kind of apply this, one of the examples that comes to top of mind is around grid resiliency. So when questions get asked about a storm takes out power in a certain jurisdiction, what are we doing to kind of prevent that? We've worked with companies to actually tag certain activities or certain assets with these resiliency indicators so that when a client or when a utility gets asked the question, what are you doing to harden the grid? It's a pivot on a report as opposed to a months-long exercise of compiling this new viewpoint. So tagging some of that transactional data. On the planning side, we've seen some folks use outside indicators and outside data sources like weather patterns, salting, street patterns, right? And so you can start to make predictive assumptions around, if I salt these roads more frequently because it's going to be snowing, I'm going to have to apply more operational upkeep to keep those out. Those transformers are going to burn out, or we're going to need to do more inspections, right? So you can start to use some of these external data points to start informing some of the forward-thinking forecast. I think the other side of getting it right that's very real for our clients and also, kind of helps in kind of the public perception side of this as well is with these new kind of capabilities comes upskilling and comes retraining, right? So you're taking the opportunity to, take folks within the finance function and teach them new trades, teach them new tools, teach them new techniques. And so I think regulators and utilities are always looking at ways to kind of reinvest into their companies, reinvest into their rate base. And so ultimately, bringing these new capabilities to bear at a utility can also be seen as a great upside for the ultimate workforce as well. So we see a lot of good use cases within the industry where we're looking at new data, providing new slices, and taking our people along the journey to get there.
Super helpful and insightful. Thanks, Craig. So building off your point you made on external data, let's maybe dig into that a little bit more. What other kinds of external data, external signals, external data sets can help improve insights in this field for power and utilities? Kyle, you want to take that one?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the utilities have been using weather patterns and new housing starts and those types of metrics for decades to plan where the system needs to be expanded or reinforced. But the questions are really changing from the investors and the regulators, from beyond how are we hardening and expanding the system to really how are we adapting to changes in the environment and changes in customer behaviors. Now, Christina, I know you asked about external data, but smart meter data or smart meter penetration is still only around 65%. And that's still somewhat external data because it's new to a lot of utilities and really understanding where the usage patterns are and also where the load patterns are. I mean, looking at the distribution system and how the transformers are being used and overloaded and may need maintenance in certain areas. There's also buying patterns for EVs because usually if your neighbor buys an EV, you might be more likely to buy one. And so understanding where the EVs are placed in a neighborhood, there's a chance there might be more and there might be need to either be capital investments or maintenance in those areas. Craig mentioned upskilling in the workforce. As we think about, first off, the utility workforce is really diversifying and we're going through the Great Resignation. There's a huge change in that workforce. And so increased training and compensation and retention costs might also be a factor there. I think the last example I have on the outside from on the wildfire front, we've seen a lot of work around resiliency where utilities are looking at the species of trees and where they're placed and what the rainfall patterns have looked like to be able to predict where they're most likely to be at risk of a fire so that they can send maintenance crews out and do vegetation management ahead of time. So again, yes, there are a ton of new emerging use cases for external data sources to help feed into the planning models.
And it just continues to really show how unique this industry is. So on that note, let's close with this. Craig, if you had a crystal ball, what do the next few years look like? The unique challenges, opportunities ahead in this space. It's an industry that hasn't had too much change in the past and is just having finance really hold the line. But based on what you guys are sharing today, that doesn't seem to really be a realistic option anymore.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Christina. I mean, the competitive landscape is changing. And usually competitive landscape and utilities don't get said in the same sentence very often. But as we look at the changes that are coming in terms of the electrification of things like EVs, as we look at resiliency requirements, or as we look at some of the environmental concerns, the competitive landscape is changing, and utilities will have to start kind of competing for dollars in consumers' pockets, right? So you're going to have external companies to the traditional utility landscape start getting involved, and I think with that, then you know the service has to continue to evolve as well. So we have to provide reliable power, sure, but now I think folks are also looking to how does that have an impact in terms of renewable energy? Am I as a ratepayer now making investment in the environment, making an investment in the future through my public utility? And so the service isn't just to turn on the lights anymore. It's a bit of how is this dollar helping to change the environment, change the world? And I also think we're starting to get significant new lenses or pressures from things like regulators. As ESG reporting comes to maturity and comes further down the line, we're going to see new standards that utilities are required to answer. And then again, as the ratepayers start to ask different questions of where is my dollar going, to Kyle's point about different tree species or what are we doing in terms of reducing our fossil fuel consumption? These are all very real questions that are getting asked. These are ever changing and they're coming pretty rapidly. So I think as the finance community in the utility industry starts to look at where they need to change and adapt, it's really going to be about speed to insight. And so as we enable these kind of new capabilities, these new views, how do I as a finance professional, take turns on this a whole lot more rapidly? That will mean new alliances, new partnerships, new values within the utility space. But I think we're going to see the finance community be at the forefront of this new reporting and something like looking at these driver trees and just the way the cause and effect within the financial statements come to fruition will be a great start for those folks.
Amazing, guys. That was super interesting. It's clear you two are pros in this area. Thank you so much for your time today, Craig and Kyle, and talk to you all next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of KPMG's Driver Acceleration Ahead. And for more information on elevating your financial planning and analysis, go to visit.kpmg.us/elevatingfpa.